Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, we have an exclusive interview with Spanish journalist and media maestro Elisa Bello from Cuenca in Castile. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that have been making the headlines here in Ireland. And we'll have some great music from Germany and Spain for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. The European movement is calling on more Irish graduates to consider careers with EU institutions. Close on 700 Irish people work in various EU departments, primarily in Belgium, Luxembourg and France. Noel O'Connell is director of the European movement in Ireland. She says there are numerous EU institutions where Irish graduates are required and have made a huge impact since the 1970s.
We have the European Investment Bank in Luxembourg. There is the Fundamental Rights Agency in Vienna. We have the European Training Foundation in Torino in Italy. So there's a huge range of different institutions, agencies and bodies that Irish graduates are really highly sought of.
The European Consumer Centre is advising people not to purchase concert or event tickets from second-party websites. It says there is little or no legal comeback if the sites selling such tickets are fraudulent. The comments come amid controversy over tickets for certain events being resold for inflated prices on alternative websites. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre says customers should be mindful that they have no legal rights when purchasing tickets from private individuals.
Yes, buyer beware. Just be careful if you're buying from an individual. Your EU consumer rights don't apply. It only applies when it's buying from a business. So just be careful, do your research, and never pay by money or bank transfer. Use a secure method of payment.
Irish SMEs have the highest success rate in Europe for winning grants from the Horizon 2020 Science and Innovation Programme. New figures show that 160 small Irish companies have won €54 million in funding since the programme began in 2014. That's a 16% success rate compared to a European average of just 6%. Dr. Imelda Lamkin of Enterprise Ireland says Irish companies are winning the grants because their applications are simply the best.
Many companies are benefiting in other countries as well, but I guess where the Irish companies are really performing is that they have a really high success rate. And really the reason for that is that they're putting forward quality applications.
The Galway Marine Institute has been presented with the first Atlantic Project Award for international cooperation on developing the blue economy. The award was presented for excellence in ocean research and how to implement the Galway Statement on Atlantic Cooperation. The presentation was made recently at the Croke Park Conference Centre in Dublin by EU Commissioner Kamenu Vella from Malta. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says the award is a major boost for the reputation of the Galway Marine Institute.
Well, it's for leading a really important international research project, and it puts the Marine Institute really into the spotlight. They and their international partners have brought together the best of thinking on how to use the sea to improve the environment and the economy for all our futures.
The European Commission is to engage with local authorities to speed up the rollout of broadband to rural communities across the EU. The initiative is aimed at making funding available to telecom operators to provide 5G connectivity in remote areas where installation is prohibitive due to cost. A new Irish national broadband contract will be signed next year to provide full broadband coverage across Ireland by 2020. Tim Hayes of the EU office in Dublin says the EU plan is designed to have every single remote region in Europe connected to the internet.
We're really very anxious to ensure that high-speed broadband is rolled out as far and as quickly as possible. And in that context, we're working very closely with the members of the Committee of the Regions so that they can identify the specific areas of priority so that they get rural broadband quicker than others.
Only 1 in 10 people read the terms and conditions schedule when buying goods online. That's one of the key findings in a European Commission study which looked at internet purchasing trends. reducing the length of terms and conditions documents is strongly being considered by the European Commission. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says a number of options are being looked at to give consumers greater protection when buying online.
The study shows that where you have to click on a link to open terms and conditions, only 1 in 10 of us do so. But where they appear by default, the readership goes up. And when the terms and conditions are kept short and simple, even more people read them. And the Commission is interested in looking at this as part of a review of consumer protection and marketing law.
Du, ich glaub daran, dass wenn was schwer wiegt, einfach anzufangen. Auch wenn Tonnen Tränen entgegenkommen, kannst du's trotzdem wagen. Wenn du ehrlich bist, dann muss was raus, weil es dich zerfrisst. Und du damit voll beladen bist, wer kann so viel tragen? Also fängst du langsam an und lässt es raus. Du fängst langsam damit an und bäumst dich auf. Du fängst langsam damit an und hörst nicht auf. Du fängst langsam an, ganz langsam an. Und dann stehst du auf, so dass es mir ganz kurz den Atem raubt. Die erste Wahrheit kommt ganz langsam raus und nimmt ihren Lauf. Du tauchst langsam auf und dann fängst du langsam an und lässt es raus. Langsam damit an und bäumst dich auf. Du fängst langsam damit an und hörst nicht auf, hörst nicht mehr auf. Und du fängst an und hörst mir laut, Wort für Wort löst es sich auf.
That's a track entitled Langsam by one of the most popular singers in Germany, Frida Gold. And that's riding high in the German charts at the moment.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
Two inconclusive national election votes have left Spain in political limbo since December, and parties are still trying to cobble together a workable coalition after the last election in June. Europe Today spoke recently to Spanish political journalist and media guru Elisa Bello from Cuenca in Castile, Spain. Good afternoon, Elisa. Thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Elisa, there's some strange developments in Spanish politics at the moment. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening over there at the moment?
Yeah, well, we have our second elections to get a prime minister. in June, but Mariano Rajoy, who was the one who won the election, didn't get the confidence to be the prime minister. So at the moment, we have a period, because a new period opened, because the parties are thinking again what to vote. They are like, they are going to repeat the vote. And there is a kind of countdown to see if Mariano Rajoy goes for another round and gets the votes, or if he doesn't get the votes, we'll have a third election. So we don't know what's going to happen. I think the key is in the Socialist Party. Mariano Rajoy is the president of the People's Party. That's in English, People's Party.
Yeah.
Partido Popular. And at the moment, the left wing, the Socialist Party, is completely broken.
Yeah. I think it has its leader, Pedro Sanchez, I think, yes, is his name. He has resigned.
Yeah. So because he didn't want to vote, well, of course he wasn't going to support Mariano Rajoy, but some of the regional leaders asked him for just abstention. Only with 11 abstentions, Mariano Rajoy could be the president again, our prime minister.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but Pedro Sanchez didn't want to do that. So there was a big meeting in the Socialist Party, and after that meeting, Pedro Sanchez has to refuse to continue being the leader. So let's see what happened, because I think some of the politicians from the left party will maintain that abstention, and finally Mariano Rajoy will be able to be the prime minister again. I think this week or in 2 or 3 days, the king, Felipe II, we called all the leaders,
right,
to check how are the things going on. And if he sees that everything looks fine to go for this round again.
Right, okay, yeah.
All the votes, there will be a meeting in the parliament, and Mariano Rajoy will be able to be our prime minister again.
And who is...
Yeah.
Sorry, who is looking to be, who's looking, who's it possible to be the next leader of the Socialist Party? Is it, they're called the PSOE, I think, is that right?
Yeah, well, the most powerful region for the left party is Andalusia, and the president at the moment there is Susana Díaz, and so I think she will be the leader.
Elisa, what's her name again?
Susana Díaz.
Is her policies more conservative than Sanchez was? Is she more likely to...
She's more conservative than Sanchez.
Right, she's more likely to do a deal, yeah.
Yeah. She wants to get the deal with Mariano Rajoy, definitely. She's asking for abstention inside her own party, and she wants to leave Mariano Rajoy to be the governor.
Right. Yeah. And what will the situation be with Podemos then? I believe there's a lot of difficulty within Podemos as well. They're struggling with their own identity, I think, at the moment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Because during the first elections in December 2015, they got 5 million votes, just 200,000 votes less than Socialist Party. But in June this year, they lost 1 million votes.
Right.
And they were in collision with Izquierda Unida.
And is there a reason why people are seeing this trend away from Podemos? They were building such a big popularity last year.
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason why Spanish people are disenfranchised with Podemos at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons. Because at the beginning, they didn't say they were very left-wing, although their politics were left. But after a while, they were talking with this other party. They became together. And even the leaders, the old leaders of the other party, of Izquierda Unida, didn't want to vote for the coalition.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons. Plus, you know, I remember we talked about this a year ago, maybe more. Do you remember that?
Yes.
John, and I said something like, Podemos made people be happy again.
Yeah.
You know, with this idea of improve things and fight for poor people and get rights back. And after a year, they are very focused on their own battles. And, you know, they are becoming like professional politicians.
Right, okay.
With the same speech that the traditional politicians.
Yep,
and I think that that's something that people don't accept.
Right, okay. Lisa, you also mentioned a bit of concern you had about some what you perceived as political intervention in the media in Spain. Can you tell us a little bit about your concerns on that, or are you at liberty to speak about that at the moment?
Yeah, I think journalists are free to talk about everything they want, but sometimes when you are in a position or you are the director of some newspaper, you can talk about whatever you want until someone just removes you from that position.
And this has happened, you reckon?
Oh, yeah. That's happening a lot. Here in Castilla-La Mancha, just 4 years ago, three of the directors of different radio stations, they were removed from their positions. One of them went to work to Madrid, and the other just went to a different position. And now he's in his work again.
And of course,
the other thing,
of course, we can't leave without discussing the Catalan issue as well. Of course, what is the situation with Catalan at the moment? The last time we spoke, they were looking for some deal, or what is the situation at the moment?
They are continuing with their process and way to go to independence. And at the same time, the court want to put some politicians in jail for that. So let's see what happens. Because at the moment, I think nobody wants to move too much or to do too much, because we still have this scene with the state government going on.
Right, okay.
But I think that as soon as we get a new prime minister, things will go faster in Catalonia. So we need to keep an eye on that. But at the moment, we haven't got big news about them.
Okay, yeah.
But they are still going on about their independence process.
And again, just to rehash over this again, one of the big reasons that Catalan want independence is the right to determine their own funding. When they get taxes that they are able to allocate it in the way that they want to do, which is not really the way it is at the moment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the main reason they want independence, but people also feel that they have got a different identity.
Right, okay, yeah.
For the last 30 years. Yeah. But the main reason is the money.
We should know by the end of October what exactly is the situation, whether they need to go to the polls again. And if they do need to go for an election, is it possible that you will have a government before Christmas, or will it be, if there's no agreement?
If there's no agreement, we'll have the first
election.
Elections the 25th of December.
hardly 25th
Baby
of December.
Jesus' birthday.
On Christmas Day. You're going to have an election on Christmas Day. I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. That's what the law says, just because of the date.
Right, okay. Right,
yeah,
okay.
And the periods, it says that will be the 25th of December.
I don't think that's going to happen. But okay, well, we'll watch that spot, Elisa. And again, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today.
Thanks to you.
We miss you so much in Dublin here, Elisa. We wish you were back here with us. Spreading your Spanish joy here in our city. But anyway, for the moment, so from Cuenca, Castile-La Mancha, Elisa Bello, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Thank you very much, John.
Hoy me pregunto qué será de ti. Te tuve cerca y ahora estás tan lejos. Pero prohibirme recordar lo nuestro es imposible. Es imposible. No me perdono, sé que te perdí, pero expiraron los remordimientos. Fui dictador y el no dejarte ir debe haber sido mi primer decreto. 4 años sin mirarte, 3 postales, un bolero. 2 meses y me olvidaste y ni siquiera me pensaste. Un 29 de febrero diciendo por la calle que solo le eres fiel al viento, el mismo que nunca hizo falta para levantar tu falda cada día de por medio. ¿Cómo te atreves a volver? Si te vas a ir, tantas mentiras que al final no veo. Nunca fui bueno para distinguir, al fin y al cabo siempre me las creo. 4 vidas me juraste, 3 te odio y 1 te quiero. 2 consejos para darte, prefiero ser un cobarde que olvidarte de primero.
Diciendo por la calle
que solo le eres fiel al viento,
solo le eres fiel al viento,
el mismo que nunca hizo falta para levantar tu falda cada día de por medio. ¿Cómo te atreves a volver? Yo me acostumbré a perder, mi corazón funciona sin latir.
¡No!
¿Cómo te atreves a volver?
¿Cómo te atreves a volver?
Y a tus cenizas convertir en fuego. Hoy mis mentiras vio caer, que no es verdad que te olvidé. ¿Cómo te atreves a volver? ¿Cómo te atreves a volver? ¿Cómo te atreves a volver?
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, we want to say a very, very special thank you to Spanish political correspondent Elisa Bello from Cuenca in Castile-La Mancha in Spain. If you want to get in contact with the programme, give us a ring on 865-8020 or you can text us on 087-977-1032. 087-977-1032. Don't forget, you can also check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various items that we spoke about as well, and links to the music too. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme Europe Today. Take care of yourselves, folks. Talk to you soon.